Let us pray. May the words of my mouth and the meditations of all our hearts be acceptable to you, my Lord, my Rock, and my Redeemer. Amen. Please be seated. Bold prayers, bold community, and a bold faith. In my childhood, while I was growing up, my dad was the vice president of Casa de Maryland, an immigration advocacy and law center. Our weekends were filled, as we were growing up, with marches where we demanded fair immigration laws and citizenship pathways. There were moments when there would be workshops and we would be invited to these, and I would sit there and just be listening to the testimonies of those who had sacrificed so much to be in this country. My mom, Mommy, always kept our eyes open to the unfair realities that so many in this country have had to live with, and empowered us to be a voice for those who could literally not speak out. My mommy would teach us how to empower others to share their story. My siblings, all these experiences awakened within me a deep sensibility towards injustice, hatred, and bigotry. My parents prayed bold prayers. They surrounded themselves and us in bold communities, and they have lived their lives boldly. In our first reading from today in Acts, we encounter an incredible and remarkable woman, the story of Tabitha, also known as Dorcas. I was reminded of that same boldness in her own story. For we start this reading saying, in Joppa there was a disciple named Tabitha. She was always doing good and helping the poor. My siblings, Tabitha is the only woman explicitly named a disciple in the entire New Testament. And this may not sound earth-breaking to y'all, but it should be. The only woman named to be a disciple in the entirety of the New Testament. This is not to be lost on us. In a culture where women were often marginalized, scripture that never kept anything by accident specifically honors her with this title. And so what made Tabitha worth of such distinction? I mean, we get so little of her story. I mean, we get just about a sentence before we're told that she has died. We're given so little, and yet she is this remarkable woman. And in just that sentence, we are told enough. For you see, Tabitha embodied discipleship through her hands and her heart. She made tunics and other clothing. She devoted herself to charity and acts of service. Her ministry was particularly focused on widows, women who had lost husbands and father-in-laws and their own sons and had no one to care for them. And as you know, to be a widow in the times of these writings in scripture was to be among the most vulnerable and the most outcasted in our communities. I was trying to imagine Tabitha. What does this mean? What was Tabitha doing? And I don't know if this would be helpful for you, but I imagine Tabitha moving quietly around Joppa, making sure to refill oil lamps before it got dark in case the widows didn't know how to do it. I picture her gathering the widows, teaching them to sew and to weave, creating a safe community where they could share their grief. I envision her listening to their stories, honoring their tears, and reminding them of their worth when society had forgotten them. The impact of her life becomes very evident in her death. When Tabitha dies, the community is devastated, so devastated that when they hear that Peter's just nearby, they send two men out with an urgent message. Please, you can almost hear the urgency in their voice in the writing. Please come to us without delay. Please come to us without delay. So my siblings, I named this the first bold act we see in this reading. The first bold act we witness. The bold hope that Peter would come. The bold hope that he, if anything else but to be of presence, he would join them. The boldness to even ask for help in the midst of their grieving. They dared to believe that something else was possible. They dared to be bold. And so when Peter arrives, you see another powerful scene. For it says, all the widows stood beside him, weeping and showing tunics and other clothing that Dorcas, Tabitha, had made while she was still with them. Did you notice the boldness there? These women were bold enough to grieve openly for their beloved sister, to boldly show that they were mourning, to bold enough to remember their loved one well. They didn't hide their tears. They didn't put away the dresses and the tunics and the garments that she had made for them. They displayed the evidence of Tabitha's love. And every stitch was a testimony to her character. Every garment was telling the story of her compassion and her love of transformation. On that note, it's even striking that Tabitha even has a name at all. And that we get two names for her, the Hebrew and the Greek name. When you look up at all the healing stories that we get in the Gospels, we rarely discover any of their names. I mean, think about the most well-known of the man born blind. It's an incredibly long story, really well-known. And to this day, we do not know the name of that man. And yet here we have her name, her legacy of compassion, her identity as a disciple, her ministry of love, all preserved in scripture for us today. So when Peter arrives at the house full of mourning, what happens next is another act of boldness. For our scripture says that Peter put all of them outside. He knelt down and prayed. He turned to the body and said, Tabitha, get up. Peter was bold enough to pray bold prayers, for he says the things that we want to say when we see a loved one sitting and laying next to us. Get up. Lord, please let her get up. He was bold enough to speak directly to death itself with the authority of Christ. And miraculously, she opened her eyes and sat up. Now, the next line could be easily understated, but as incredibly bold as the others. For it says that he gave her his hand and helped her up. Tabitha was bold enough in the moment of her resurrection to accept the help of her community in the getting up. For none of us can do this on our own. The intimate gesture, the extended hand, the gentle assistance reminds us that resurrection is not just a divine act, but also a communal experience. One that we need in order to get up. We need others. And then the last part of boldness is that this story didn't just stay within this community. It didn't just stay in that upper room. It didn't just stay between Tabitha and Peter. No, it was shared all throughout Joppa, and we don't know how far it went. And many believed in the Lord, for they were bold enough to share the good news. They were bold enough to spread the happenings that they had just witnessed. They were bold enough to run it from the rooftops and proclaim that God is good. Bold prayers, bold community, bold faith. Now, my siblings, we can all relate to the women we are reading today. We have either suffered, are suffering, or feel as if our suffering is consuming us. We have all grieved, and perhaps today, on Mother's Day, that grief is there for some. Perhaps you've lost a mother, you long to be a mother, or your relationship with your mother is broken. Perhaps you have lost a child, or you worry constantly about your children's futures. Our reading reminds us that in all that suffering and disappointment, loneliness and fear, sadness, and yes, in the grieving, Jesus is still there in the suffering alongside us, sharing our bold prayer and our bold faith, waiting for us to get up, extending a hand, waiting for us to grab it and to get up from whatever it is that is keeping us down. The journey of motherhood itself requires its own kind of boldness. From the sleepless nights with newborns to navigating the willful independence of toddlers and school-age kids, to guiding teenagers through their struggles towards identity, to releasing and guiding adult children out into this world, each stage demands courage and patience, boldness and resilience. There are days that we may feel like Tabitha before her own resurrection, exhausted and depleted. The constant demands of caring for others can leave very little room for our own renewal. But the God who said, Tabitha, get up, speaks those same words to us today here. The hand that helped her rise continues to extend to us as well. So when your toddler, like mine, is on their third meltdown before noon, God is saying, Maria Teresa, give me your hand. Get up. It's gonna be all right. When your eight-year-old or teenager seems unreachable behind the walls of anger or silence, or you just don't know what's happening, God is saying, take my hand and get up. When you feel like you failed and fall short of the mother that you wanted to be or dreamed of, God is saying, still in the midst of this brokenness that you're experiencing, take my hand and get up. And like Tabitha, we don't rise alone. We rise with the support of communities, with other parents and loved ones and friends who understand, who encourage, and with a church family that surrounds us. And so for everyone here, I believe this reading offers us three bold acts, three boldness ways of answering a call. First, a call to bold service. Tabitha didn't serve for recognition or rewards. She simply saw the need and got to work. She knew the skills she had, and she went with that. Her tunics and her garments weren't just about providing warmth or fashion, they were about confirming the dignity and worth of every woman in society that otherwise had been pushed aside. So my sibling, how might we serve with similar intentionality? What gifts do we already have that God has already given us that we can use as instruments of God's compassion? The second call is a call to bold community. Notice how this entire story, however short it is, completely unfolds in relationship. The disciples send for Peter. The widows gather together. Peter extends his hand to help Tabitha rise up. None of these people act alone. Bold faith flourishes only in connection with others. So my siblings, who are the people that God has placed in your life that help you get up? How might you and me and all of us be called to show up more boldly for them? And even more courageously, how are we called to allow them to show up for us? Finally, the last call is a call to bold resurrection. Sometimes in our lives, we just find ourselves in places of death, and sometimes mainly it's not physical death, but the death of dreams and jobs and relationships and health and hope. The message of this text is clear. God is in the resurrection business. God speaks life into our deaths, large and small and all alike, and says, insert your name here, get up. Judy, get up. Bob Wells, get up. Saba, Ani, all insert your name here. Get up. up. Whatever your unsung ministry within our community is, I hope you hear and tell the story and affirmation. The countless acts of devotion you embody are recognized and appreciated by God, who works tirelessly to create new life in us and through us. The women gathered in Tabitha's outbreak room teach us about community and grief. They didn't suffer alone. They showed Peter tangible evidence of what Tabitha meant to him. They held up garments as to say, look what she made for us. Look what her hands did for us. Look how well she loved us. Look at what she meant to us. Look at what we've lost. And yet the story doesn't end there. It doesn't end with the garments being put away as memorials. It ends with resurrection and with new life and with Tabitha continuing her ministry. This is the promise that God continues to extend to each of us, that our stories, too, will end not in loss, but in restoration. And God will do the rest. And that's the good and hard news. It's the trust that God will do the rest. If we have the patience and the faith and hope to trust in his word, then God too will tell us, get up. For you might not believe it right now, but soon you'll be amazed by the power of the Holy Spirit. And so on this Mother's Day, we honor not just those who are mother, but all who, like Tabitha, have loved others incredibly well through their care and compassion and service. We celebrate the bold women who have come into our lives and forever changed them. We celebrate the bold women who have shown us what discipleship looks like in action. The bold women who have clothed us, and not just with garments, but with dignity and love and prayer. May we, like Tabitha, be worthy of the title disciple. May we serve boldly, love deeply, and rise confidently when God calls our name. And may our lives, like hers, bear witness to the resurrection power of Jesus Christ. Amen.
Amen.